Appreciate all that has gone before this morning. Appreciate the good singing. I appreciate your kindness, Sister Debbie. I appreciate the good prayer. And we enjoy the thoughts from Brother Joe. And we're so thankful for all of you that are here this morning with us. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to continue on with some of the same thoughts that Brother Joe brought to our attention this morning. In Colossians 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Brother Joe mentioned to us about thanksgiving, giving thanks. Very important that we understand we don't just give thanks. We thank someone in particular.
Amen.
Giving thanks unto the Father. He is the source of all blessings that we have in this life. He is the source, as Brother Dennis prayed, of every good gift, every perfect gift. He is the source. It comes down from the Father of lights. And He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, if you're going to receive an inheritance, you'll do so if you are a spouse or a child or specified in the will. And every one of those conditions applies to us when it comes to the Lord. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are Abraham's seed if we're Christ and heirs according to the promise. So we've been made to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let's consider that thought this morning that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness. What does that mean, the power of darkness? He's delivered us from the power of darkness. And He's also translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you translate something, maybe something from one language to the other, what you translate is passive in that. This text tells us that God's translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we were passive in that. He did all the work. He translated us. But in order to translate us, and you know, I think about that opening song that we sang this morning. It says, He's turned my night to day. He's turned my night to day. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you turn me to Luke chapter 22, I want to notice with you that when Jesus delivered us from the power of darkness, there's a sense in which He had to go there Himself to rescue us out of it, to deliver us from it. You know, when Jesus walked in this world, they tried time and time again to take Him, to apprehend Him, to stone Him, to push Him off a cliff. There were many times they tried to take Him, but they were never able to. But then there came a time when Jesus referred to as His hour. His hour had come. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 52, it says, Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to Him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? They came to take the Son of God, Jesus, the perfect man, and treated Him like a thief with swords and spears like it was going to be a fight. Verse 53, Jesus says, When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. He says, But this is your hour. And the power of darkness. Now notice Jesus says, this is your hour. And this is the power of darkness. I'm going to tell you, we were within the grips of the power of darkness until Jesus came to deliver us out. And He came and to turn our night to day. He actually turned His day to night. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? He was hanging on the cross at noontime, and it says, and it was dark upon the earth for 3 hours. There was darkness. It changed from light to dark. Now, Brother Joe has already read to us John chapter 8. You remember what Brother Joe read here in the 8th chapter of John in verse 12? This is very, very beautiful language that Jesus says here in John 8, verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now notice, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, what does it take to change from dark to day? Well, the sun has to rise, right? That's the difference. The sun rises. The light of the earth, the sun rises, and it goes from night to day. And when the sun sets, it goes from day to night. Well, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If He's going to change our night today, that just means He comes on the scene, doesn't it? He's the light of the world. He comes on the scene as the light of the world, and then we are no longer in darkness because now we have the light of life. We have Jesus. And darkness never wins against light. Have you ever noticed that? It can be light, it can be dark, but when the lights come on, darkness flees away. When it comes to Jesus as the light of this world, there is a sense, if you turn with me to, I believe it's Matthew chapter 8, is the one I'm looking for. No, that's not it. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, he quotes Isaiah chapter 9 in this, starting in verse 14, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, he's talking about the land of Galilee, the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, that they... it says they sat in darkness, but then they saw a great light. Well, what was that? It was Jesus. Jesus came on the scene. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes on the scene as the light of the world, all darkness flees away. He changes our night to day, and simply being on the scene, and He's delivered us from the power of darkness. And those that sat in darkness, those that maybe... we're lacking some understanding. Notice it says, to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. All right, hold on to that thought as we go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, this is language that I first want to notice with you. Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness. And really, if you think about the problems that we have in this life, it's not a virus. It's not a person. And sometimes we try to say, well, this is a problem, or that's a problem, or this is a problem. The real problem we have in this life is, as he states in Ephesians 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness. That's the real problem. But Jesus came and He endured the power of darkness in defeating our enemies there on the cross of Calvary, so that we might be delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now that happens to us in a very personal way, as we're going to read here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now notice, he tells us who we are, what the Lord's done for us, and what we should be doing in this one verse. We're a chosen generation. You are a special people. You are a peculiar people. That word, you know, we use that word peculiar to mean strange or a little odd or different. That's not the definition of peculiar there. That word actually means you are a holy people, a special people, a purchased people. You are a peculiar people. You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. Now, that's a very interesting use of those two words together. Royal priesthood. You know, priests were different from kings and royalty. But when it comes to you and I, we've been made kings and priests to God. You're a king. You're also a priest. You have some sacrifices to offer up, but you're also a child of the king, your royalty. But what you should be doing is showing forth the praises of Him. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God. We should be praising the Lord who's done what? He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I want us to think this morning about how the voice of the Son of God calls that dead alien sinner from death to life. That's what He says in John 5:25. He's called you from death to life. That's a very powerful, effectual call. A call that we're not capable of using or doing. Our voice wouldn't do that, but His voice does. And He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, if you think about this morning, the difference between light and darkness, there's really no comparison. There's no comparison to the light versus the darkness. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light because He delivered us from the power of darkness to translate us in the kingdom of His dear Son. I believe the kingdom of His dear Son is where you find the light. You know, when Israel was slaves in Egypt, we find that God sent 10 plagues to Egypt. Y'all remember that? And the 9th plague was darkness over all of Egypt. And it was so dark that they could feel it. Now, huh? I don't know exactly what that was like to be that dark. I tell you, when I go to sleep, I like it to be dark. I don't really like lights on. It's hard to sleep when there's light on. I remember one time I was flying back from Taiwan back to Los Angeles, California. And they made us put all the blinds down because we were going to be going this way and the sun was going to be going this way. And it would have been bright on that airplane and everyone wanted to sleep. We left at midnight, so everyone wanted to sleep. But if the shades were up, then the light would be on the plane. It would be hard to sleep. Well, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to being a child of God and serving the Lord, I feel like sometimes we go to sleep. We go to sleep on the job. And the Bible in multiple places in the New Testament says it's high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to wake up. Why? Because the light is come forth. The light's here. It's not time to sleep. It's time for us to be showing forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He tells us that same language there in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, he talks about darkness and he talks about light. Notice here what it says in Ephesians 5. He says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now notice he tells us that we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's a certain way in which we should walk because we were darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. What exactly does he mean by that? We were sometimes darkness. You know, by nature, you and I, we are all sinners. Depraved sinners, totally depraved. We are children of wrath, even as others. When we come into this world, we come forth just like the wicked, sinful, in darkness. But he tells us that we were darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. We are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, that text in John 8 says that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, he says this in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You know, God has placed His light inside of you. In fact, if you want to see a text that proves that, 2 Corinthians 4, he says this, and this is very interesting to me because this is something that only the Lord could do. It's not something that we are capable of doing. It didn't matter how hard we try. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice starting in verse 3. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Verse 4. "In whom the God of this world," I believe he's referring to Satan here, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Notice, Satan is hard at work trying to blind God's people. You know, is there really any difference between a blind man and someone who's got their eyes closed? Is there any different? You know, you may have the ability to see, but if you're not using that ability, then there's really no difference. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he tells us to add to our faith virtue and to knowledge and brotherly kindness and charity and all these things. He says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you lack these things, then you're blind and cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten that you've been purged from your old iniquity." Now, that blindness comes as a result of negligence, not being diligent to do these things in our lives. Well, Satan is hard at work trying to keep you from having... Notice verse 4. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto you." What's he trying to hinder? He's trying to hinder the light of the glorious gospel from shining to you. But then he says here in verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." That's the duty of the minister, not to preach himself, but Christ Jesus the Lord, "and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Notice what it says God did. God commanded. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Go to Genesis 1 verse 3. This is what he's talking about. It says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now, that's a very powerful declaration that God just speaks and there's light. But I want you to notice the language here very carefully in verse 6. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, we could never do that. We are not capable of doing that. We can shine a light into darkness, but God commanded light to shine out of darkness. You see that in the creation in Genesis 1 verse 3. He created this world, and it says, "And darkness was over the face of the earth, but God said, let there be light, and there was light." Light shined out of darkness. He compares that here in verse 6 to what happened in your heart and mine, I trust. He has shined in our hearts in that same way. A heart that was so dark and corrupt and sinful and depraved, God's commanded a light to shine in our hearts, just like He did when He created this world. And so now Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Why? Because He put the light there. The light is there. The light shines. That's why He tells us in Matthew 5 that you are the light of the world. It's not appropriate for a light to be hid under a bushel. It's appropriate to put a light on a candlestick. And you say, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, some people, Brother Joe has mentioned unashamed, and some people go through life and they just hide their light under a bushel. They don't ever let anyone know what the Lord has done in their life or shine their light and try to glorify God with their works that people could glorify their Father in heaven. Instead, they put their light under a bushel and not on a candlestick. You know, the Bible calls the church the candlestick. And so if you're going to put your light in a place where it belongs, you should make a public profession of the Lord and join the Lord's church. And in joining the Lord's church, you are putting your light on the candlestick where it belongs. Well, I tell you, as the light of the world and the light that God has placed inside of us, that is what we ought to do. And we ought to come here to this place where we can have the light of the glorious gospel shining to us. In Acts chapter 26, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says that was his duty in preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 26, he said, and this is him relating to what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And in relating this, he says God sent him to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. And now notice verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now notice the comparison he made there. He says he's sent to preach the gospel, to turn God's people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. That's the difference there. It's night and day. The difference between Satan and God, they are opposites when it comes to what we're referring to. From darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now notice he says, we preach the gospel to turn God's people from darkness to light. If you think about it, living in this world, apart from God's word and apart from the church, there is a dark influence in this world where the God of this world, Satan himself, is trying to blind your eyes and trying to keep you from the glorious light of the gospel. But here in the church, we have the blessed opportunity for the Lord to turn the lights on, if I may say it that way. To have the lights come on. And if you turn me to Luke chapter 1, when John the Baptist was going to be born, his daddy made this declaration when he was born. His daddy, Zacharias, who is a priest, he launched, yeah, if y'all don't know that story, boy, I go back and read Luke chapter 1 because as a parent, I have not had an experience near like this, but Zacharias was an older man and his wife was too, and they never had children, couldn't have children. And an angel appeared to him and told him he was going to have a son. And he doubted that. He questioned that. And so the angel, Gabriel, told him, well, since you didn't believe this, you're going to be dumb, which in the Bible that means you can't speak. Doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It just means you can't talk. You will be dumb and not be able to speak. Well, he couldn't say anything for the whole 9 months until the baby was born. And then he asked for, they said, we're trying to name the baby, and they were making signs to him what would be the name. He asked them to give him a writing tablet. He took the paper and he wrote on it, his name is John. And after that, he could talk again. I mean, incredible. And then as he talked, he preaches in this sermon and launches into all these things, and he starts talking about what John the Baptist shall be. He says in verse 76, this is the end of Luke chapter 1, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Where should we be walking? Walk as children of light. We should be walking in the way of peace. Well, how do we get there? How do we walk there? We need guidance. And he said John the Baptist, as a minister of the gospel, he would guide God's people, their feet in the way of peace. That's the duty of the gospel minister, to guide God's people into the way of peace that they may walk as children of light. But what a blessed statement, to give light to them that sit in darkness. You remember what we read about Jesus? He came to that place in Galilee. Them that sat in darkness have seen a great light. They've seen the light of the world, Jesus himself. But it also said in Matthew 4, as it does here, and in the shadow of death. That reminds me of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Now I want us to take a moment and remember, Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness when he went to the cross at Calvary. And he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's also called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's also given us the blessed privilege here in the New Testament church to have the gospel preached, that the gospel minister is to, in preaching the gospel, he brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. He preaches to turn God's people from darkness to light, to lead them into the way of peace. But I wanted to notice with you this morning that there is a sense in which you and I go through night seasons in our life. We have difficult seasons. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's a sense in which we go through seasons that are very difficult and hard. The valley of the shadow of death. I've been in contact with some people recently that they've had loss of loved ones. They've had the loss of health. They've had difficult circumstances that they've had to face. And they're just going through a night season, if I may say it that way. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to that night season, oh, that song we sang this morning, How Can I, Lowly Mortal? It says, oh, that he might smile on me. Oh, that he might smile on me. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to we as God's people, there's really only two things that we need to be looking for. We need to be looking, you know, that text that we all know so well, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. What does that mean, seek God's face? You know, I believe that sometimes God's frowning on us, and sometimes He's smiling at us. And when He smiles upon us, I believe that there is a light there. If you turn with me to Psalm 89, I want to notice with you what He says here in the 89th Psalm. Because when it comes to going through these night seasons, really, sometimes the Lord is able to rescue us from all the pitfalls and problems that we might have. He's able to do that. But sometimes He doesn't, because there's something that we need to learn from it. But even in the midst of that trial, we can still be thankful. You remember how Daniel, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken. There was a proclamation that anyone who prayed to any God for a whole month would be thrown in the den of lions. Well, he went home and he prayed with thanksgiving, as he always did. He was still thankful in the midst of that. Well, Psalm 89, verse 15 says this, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The joyful sound. What is the joyful sound? Well, I want to be this blessed people. So for me to be the blessed people, I've got to know the joyful sound. What's the joyful sound? Well, I'm going to say we ought to be the happiest people on earth, because if you go back and look up that word gospel, it means good tidings, good news. And although we might be getting bad news out in the world, or even in our life, or even at the doctor's office, there might be bad news. I'll tell you, when we come to the house of God, it's always good news. And the good tidings is that we have God still on His throne. He hasn't lost any power. He didn't lose an election. He is still on His throne. And God is still ruling and reigning. And He's delivered you from the power of darkness by sending His Son to pay for your sins. That's the good news this morning. You have a home in heaven that's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is not going to change. That'll never change. That is good news from a far country. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. I'll tell you, when we come and sing these songs of praise, when we come to the house of God and do that, that's a joyful sound, a joyful noise. We are here to make a joyful noise to the Lord, singing and making melody in our heart. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. That word countenance means face. And they'll walk. The blessed people who know the joyful sound, they will walk in the light of God's countenance. Oh, that He would smile upon me. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just is as a shining light. Why is it a shining light? Because the path of the just, it's following the lit path. The well-lit path, where the lights are on, that Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You think about it. There's a lot of different ways that you can walk. Why not walk the well-lit path in this cold and dark and cruel world? Let's walk that path. The path of the just is as a shining light. It's got God's word shining the light. It's got the light of God's people that have their own light there. It also has God's countenance lighting it up. You know, when Moses went up into the mountain and talked to the Lord, he'd come down and his face would be shining. Why? Because he was in the presence of God. God's light, if the sun is so bright that we can't even look at it without it hurting our eyes, just imagine how bright the one who made the sun is. His countenance shines in this way. Over here in Numbers chapter 6, we will go here and close, but there was a blessing that the priest would give to the people. And this is my prayer for each and every one of you this morning. It says in Numbers 6, the end of this chapter, verse 24, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." You know, I think about how wonderful the Lord's face shining upon us, being gracious to us. He's already delivered us from darkness. He's already called us out of darkness. And this midst of this dark world, He's given us His church, a place where the light shines, a place where the light can be found, a place where the light is always bright. "But may His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us." Verse 26, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Think about that statement. The Lord lift up His countenance. You know, when you smile, your face lifts up, doesn't it, when you smile? When you frown, it goes down. We always told our children to turn that frown upside down and lift up your countenance. But isn't it a blessing when the Lord smiles upon us? The Lord's face shines upon us. He's smiling upon us and He's gracious to us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us something we don't deserve. These blessings that we have. And not only that, He gives us peace. If I think about one thing that we stand in need of in this world in which we live, we need peace. We need peacemakers. And I'm going to tell you, if you try to make peace with Satan or the world, that's no peace. We sang this morning about victory in Jesus. That's how you achieve peace, by victory. And when it comes to you and I and the cause of Christ, we rest in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has already won the victory and given us the victory over death, hell, sin, Satan, his works, the grave. He's already won the victory. And therefore, we have peace. And may the Lord bless us with peace in the church, in our homes, in our jobs, in this community, wherever we are. May the Lord give us peace. I thank you for your good attention this morning.